fighting for America.
The Republican Party is in this big, massive civil war. It's Tea Party versus establishment, libertarians versus social conservatives. There's infighting, conflict, backbiting, discord.
Fighting for Idaho.
I don't want to scare people, but waves of terrorism, stuff that we've never seen or heard before by small groups, much like Taz, I'm very worried about it, and I'm very worried about an incredibly porous border.
Fighting for you.
Thank you for having this great show on in the morning, because without it, we wouldn't have any real conservative voice out there on the radio.
Boise's Mr. Right.
Like me, friend me, and we'll have a great time together.
Kevin Miller in the morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
I'm ADKIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning here. Thank you all for joining us. Before we get to our friend Chris Farrell from Judicial Watch, quickly we go to Patriot Ray. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. You know, Boehner and that whole crowd, you sit back and you say, okay, you go with me or I'm going to take you off your committee, and that's what happened. And the ones that decided to go with Boehner is because of the backdoor deals they made, like they've done in the past. What should happen is that should be a closed ballot, should not be an open ballot when it comes to electing the speaker. That should be a closed ballot, so they don't have to be kowtowed to. But I think it's just amazing what's going on. First he says, God bless everybody, but you're not on my committee anymore. Get off. You were the best for it 2 weeks ago, but not now. So I just look at this and it just angers me what goes on within our group. And what's the difference between the Democrats and Republicans anymore? Honestly,
right.
What is it?
None.
Yeah. Hope to see you Saturday if you plan to be there.
I don't think I'll be there, but thank you, Patriot Ray.
Okay, thanks.
All right. We're going to go to Chris Farrell now, joining us from Judicial Watch. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Great to be out with you again.
Well, good to have you with us here. So, everybody's kind of going back and forth about John Boehner and such, but, you know, it's like the Democrats never did this stuff. You're a nonpartisan group. I'm sure Nancy Pelosi never punished anybody for not toeing the party line.
That's very funny. You know, your last caller there talking about there's essentially no difference is correct. There's about a nickel's worth of difference maybe here and there. And I think party-wide, as far as party politics and party kind of heavy-handed exercise of power is concerned, the parties do act very much alike. There's a few shining examples of individuals who have some spine, some backbone, but largely this is kindergarten writ large, right? So if you're not my friend, then, you know, I cut you off at the knees, and they have this sort of slavish lockstep loyalty and very delicate, very tender little egos. When somebody asks an annoying or awkward question, even just asking the question, you know, in their view, must be punished.
Oh, you know, and we see that with the press. I mean, God bless Cheryl Atkinson, but she's about the only one exposing things, and she's not. There's a reason why she's not with CBS anymore.
Exactly, because, I mean, she's also fortunate enough to be in a position where she didn't have to put up with it any longer, right? She could simply walk away and do her own thing. Not everybody can do that, right? A lot of people are saddled with obligations and mortgages and car payments and school tuition, and they just can't be cavalier and say, well, you know, goodbye, good luck. They have larger obligations to worry about. So they're put in this ethical quandary of go along to get along because, well, frankly, you can't not pay your mortgage, and you can't, you know, tell your kid you're not going to school, or and so there's larger competing issues. But thank goodness there are some folks who are in a position to say, you know what, drop dead. No, I'm not playing your game, and they will walk away. So,
oh, thank goodness we have Jeb Bush to look forward to. Just full of them.
You know,
today,
this is if you put this in a novel and published it a few years ago, no one would buy it. They say this is preposterous. What are you really talking about? No one, I mean, no one would believe it. Truth is stranger than fiction.
Well, and again, you're going to see the same type of hand twisting and arm wringing that you talked about before during the primaries. You're going to have these folks in Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina all of a sudden be kingmakers, and you better go with the king or you'll be left out in the cold. That's unfortunately how
that
it works.
Exactly. Yeah. There really is a groupthink mentality where people start to you know, first of all, everyone desperately wants to belong. They want to be part of the cool crowd, part of the in-group, and they have very sharp elbows to make sure that they're in with whatever seems to be the trend. I mean, all you have to do is go to Washington, D.C., and watch one of these congressmen leave their office and go down the hall to go do something and see the little posse of 20-somethings scurrying after them, you know, the various assistants. And it's enough to make your stomach roll.
Chris Farrell joining us from Judicial Watch. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. So let me hit you with this. We go to judicialwatch.org, and y'all have obtained something very significant concerning Fast and Furious.
Indeed. We obtained crime scene photos from Phoenix, which document the fact that Fast and Furious weapons, courtesy of Eric Holder and the Department of Justice, were involved in a Phoenix gang attack, an assault that occurred over a drug incident. And the very graphic crime scene photos, we obtained them not to be offensive in the graphic sense of it, but to document the fact that a Fast and Furious weapon was used in this 2013 assault. And the City of Phoenix Police Department and the Department of Justice deliberately withheld that information from Congress. They had an affirmative obligation to inform Congress and the various committees looking at Fast and Furious of any subsequent involvement of these Fast and Furious smuggled arms in crimes. And so Phoenix PD, the Department of Justice, knew that this AK-47 that was used in this gang attack, the slaying, was in fact one of those weapons. They had the serial number. It shows up in the photo. And they deliberately withheld that information from Senator Grassley and from Congressman Issa.
Imagine that. Of course, I'm sure there'll be repercussions.
You know, barely a peep. And so we have this photographic evidence. We put it up on our website. Folks can go and look for it, look at it themselves. And it proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that here's a weapon directly tied to Holder and his crazy plan to let guns walk across the border that he lied to Congress about and has been held in contempt over. And now the gun shows up at a crime. Years later, they're supposed to provide notice. They deliberately withhold the information.
Yeah, it does make you wonder, if you all didn't exist, what would really happen? I mean, what and there's a lot of the shenanigans that, Chris, you all at Judicial Watch can't get to.
Yeah, I mean, our plate is quite full. And we have even more stuff that we're working on that, you know, has not got to the point where you know, we're going to do a press release on it now. These are ongoing investigations that we're working on that are also, I mean, just as startling and as offensive as the one I just mentioned concerning the Fast and Furious weapon. Stuff touching on terrorism and on really very dangerous situations at the border that the administration, you know, just kind of does the three monkey routine, right? The hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil.
Right.
And so those are ongoing investigations that we'll be breaking news on in the weeks and months ahead. You know, the thing that I circle back to is the thing that's been in the headlines for the last day or so, and that is this attack in Paris. The American public needs to realize that Paris could be New York or Cleveland or Denver or Boise or L.A., At any given time, at any given moment. We face the exact same mentality and threat within our own borders right now.
Well, you're a smart guy. You go up against the
I
very...
I don't know about that.
look, I'm going to say comparatively speaking, so let's just roll with that. Do you believe, and this is outside of the world of Judicial Watch, but to your point where you're talking about it could happen in Boise, it could happen anywhere... We have the folks in France very upset, rightfully so, about the attack on the newspaper. But you had Jay Carney saying, well, you know, if they do this, bad things can happen. We have the charade that was the interview, and people are saying it's speech. Chris Farrell, as you know, dealing with bad guys, the bad guys don't really, you know, care about free speech, and they'll punish you for, you know, to a similar, to a lesser degree, like Boehner punishes the opposition. I mean, what's the shock?
Exactly. Yeah, there's this browbeating and this fear-based decision-making where we bend over backwards to be Sharia compliant while our enemies laugh at us. I mean, they think we're the most, you know, jellyfish, spineless cowards, that we don't have enough sense to stand up for our own laws, our own culture, our own history, our own values, that we're willing, you know, to just fold at a moment's notice or at the slightest bit of pressure. They know that, and they use it against us in sort of a jujitsu type, you know, using our own power against us.
Right.
And we see it even, you know, we asked for the photos of the raid that killed bin Laden. And, no. Oh, we couldn't possibly provide. Why not? When Mussolini was captured by folks overthrowing the Italian government at the close of World War II, they strung Mussolini up by his heels, he and his girlfriend, Clara Petacci, and cut their throats. And they ran those photographs on the front page of the New York Times. Nobody was worried about Italian fascists or Nazis being offended.
Well, that's why we continue to lose. We won.
We got them. Why aren't we proud of that?
Because, again, we seem to have this, and I don't know how you want to define it, hey, that if we are passive, they'll like us. It's kind of like working for that boss that hates you no matter what. It doesn't matter what you do. He ain't going to like you.
Precisely.
Our great friend Chris Farrell with us here at 580KIDO. Before we go to traffic, does it make a difference that the Republicans are in charge to folks like you at Judicial Watch?
It does not. We're equal opportunity offenders. For 20 years now, we've called it like we've seen it. We don't care if there's a D or an R behind anybody's name. Nobody's got a monopoly on ethics. We hope that people do the right thing. We hope that they you know, exercise their power correctly. But if they abuse it, we're not going to shift. We're not going to change who and what we are. We're going to call it like we see it. And if that's inconvenient to people, so what?
More coming up. Chris Farrell, Judicial Watch.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Chris Farrell joining us from Judicial Watch. Let's go back to judicialwatch.org, and this has an Idaho connection concerning Bo Bergdahl. Did the president commit a crime, Chris?
Well, this is a tough question to ask, but it appears that there were various incentives paid, meaning bribes or some sort of money changed hands, in an attempt to facilitate the release of Bergdahl. It wasn't just the five terrorists, some really bad actors cut loose, but that there may have been other payments made, and it's not clear, and the Department of Defense is being very cute about how they expressed whether the money was paid as sort of a ransom or not. And, of course, the president's prohibited from, first of all, he's prohibited from making the prisoner released to begin with. And then secondly, there's a very unambiguous law having to do with the Anti-Deficiency Act and the payment of money that may have been broken. And so we're investigating that. We have a number of inquiries out. We're also conducting our own investigation of what was done. And so we're going to find out what happened. I think that the administration's effort to suppress information on Bergdahl has been quite successful. They've really lowballed the entire controversy around him. We'll see what happens when it comes to a court martial of Bergdahl, what's done, how his case is treated. But the larger question is, besides the release of the terrorists, were there monies paid to kind of grease the skids to get this guy released.
You know, the Bergdahl case is fascinating. We covered him and we talked to his parents and all that for years because of the Idaho connection. But you have to wonder, and again, this kind of goes outside your jurisdiction, but I think you're comfortable with it, that the administration went all in for Bergdahl, you know, with the Haqqani terrorists and possibly the money, if anything else. But then we have people that are being held in Iran and other places where they've just kind of washed their hands.
Yeah, they don't say a word. Exactly. They don't even do, I mean, there may be quiet diplomacy going on behind the scenes, but it doesn't mean that you need to abandon public diplomacy, right? You can do it on both tracks. In fact, you can use one to leverage against the other, but the administration's completely silent on these matters. They make either no effort or no interest in doing public diplomacy, building consensus, building international, even just questioning of, hey, what's the condition or what's the circumstances with so-and-so? I mean, I know that the Iranians have been holding a Christian minister for years. You know, where is the sense of, you know, justice in this?
It's kind
There's none.
Right.
You know, the administration does behind-the-door, behind-the-scenes deals with Cuba, of all countries,
right.
with nothing in return. No real payoff, no real, you know, positive consequence for the United States. And, you know, everyone's supposed to clap and say hooray. But, you know, the Castro brothers are still running their prisons. So it's very troubling. This is such an ideologically driven administration with their, you know, narrow sort of socialist-Leninist view drives everything above and beyond the Constitution or what the country's best interests are. As long as they're scoring points ideologically, they frankly don't care about anything else.
Now, let me go back at you then. I had a friend of mine, actually, she's now in prison, but she was a state senator in Pennsylvania. And we were talking about the casino deals, and she goes, Kevin, this is against the law. I go, well, Senator Ori, if it's against the law, why are they doing it? Well, the laws are only there if they're enforced.
Correct.
You catch the president in this, and is Eric Holder going to come in with the cuffs? Probably not.
Correct, and that is the problem. When you have an attorney general like Holder calling the shots, you know, We're in a very, very scary, bad, weak position.
Indeed. So let's say you do your job at Judicial Watch, which you have. You expose this guy, then what?
Exactly. I mean, that's where there has to be courage within Congress. I mean, nothing prohibits Congress from impeaching lesser judicial officers. Impeachment is not lesser constitutional officers. The impeachment is not necessarily just for the president alone. Cabinet secretaries can be impeached. Other constitutional officers can be impeached. So instead of just, you know, the House holding the attorney general in contempt and leaving it there, move to impeach him. Find lesser constitutional officers running various agencies and departments, and even divisions within departments and agencies. When they're out of control, impeach them. Remove them from office.
Chris Farrell joining us here. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Do you think that having the Republicans in power in the Senate will aid your investigations at all?
I don't know, because frankly, the Congress has been dependent upon us to unearth records and documentation on anything from Fast and Furious to Benghazi to the IRS scandal. Congress has waited for us to do the work of getting the documents released. So I'm not sure. I don't know whether we just have another customer, another client.
Indeed. What else should we be looking out for, Chris?
I don't want to scare people, but waves of terrorism, stuff that we've never seen or heard before by small groups, much like Paris, I'm very worried about it, and I'm very worried about an incredibly porous border, north and south. We've double talked ourselves into pretending that nothing's there, nothing bad's happening, nothing to worry about, and we're delusional.
Chris Farrell from Judicial Watch, we appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men.
it again. Oh, here we are. We're moving out. We're moving in. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
So it is Friday. We've got a big weekend in football going on. The national championship game on Monday, the NFL, and all heck breaking loose in Europe. I wonder how many people are going to be focused on just the devastating aftermath of the attacks in France. Then this situation that Fox News has been covering all morning long, where you have these two brothers, you know, right now holed up and having hostages, and the shootout continuing.
Yeah, they have said that they want to die martyrs. They have proclaimed it, so bring it on.
Well, you know, if that's their wish.
Yeah, that's what they want. They want to die martyrs. My prayer is that nobody innocent loses their life. But the two that want to be martyrs, your wish shall be granted.
Well, let's hope so. You know, this problem continues to go on and on. Apparently, the New York Times struck from their story about the French newspaper attacks that the terrorists were actually proselytizing during the attack. We did say that they were saying Allahu Akbar, other quotes coming out, you must convert to Islam, read the Quran and cover yourself. Tough things. And yesterday we had the clip of Sean Hannity going back and forth. And I think it's coming to a point that you're going to have people in this country being targeted for speaking out against these people.
Well, it's, you know, a couple of things, you know, in the fight against terrorism becoming tougher because they're, and they mentioned it's going to be more of that, more individuals or just small groups of two or three people carrying out terrorism as opposed to, you know, a group of 50 people trying to do it. And you are seeing more and more of that, and very easy for them to carry it out.
Well, we saw that in Boston. They've talked about these lone wolves, these sleeper cells. And then you take a look at Major Nadal Hassan, the Boston attacks, and everything else.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's exactly what we see happening and carrying out. I mean, and what's to keep, we've seen, you know, even in the news as trials come up, we've seen some of that mentality right here in the Treasure Valley that could have happened here.
Well, the Treasure Valley, the guy in Oregon recruiting people, scary stuff.
It is very scary, and you just never know. And the thing that they asked us after 9/11, and we need to keep doing that, is keep your eyes open and be vigilant. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, kind of more interested because Garth Brooks is on the Today Show for 4 hours, you know, so I don't know. Sometimes we aren't very vigilant. And I bet you, if you were to go down the hallway and talk to Tweedledee and Tweedledum on the some of the radio station shows here, what's going on in Paris? What are you talking about? They won't even know.
I don't know if they're really the best representation of.
Well, they're in touch with the rest of the world. I don't know.
I think if you ask people even in newsrooms in the Treasure Valley, they probably, you know.
Yeah.
Aren't very good. The governor yesterday making his preview to the state of the state asked about gay marriage. The governor is standing strong on that. I think, refreshing news for me. I'm with the governor, with the gays. And in addition to that, perhaps more funding for education.
When have we not heard that?
Well, I think when he cut education in 2009.
Did he cut it? Or did he just not increase it as much as
he was?
Well,
I mean, we beg to differ on that. But, yeah, there was a cut.
No way. Did they actually take money?
Yeah, right.
Was it going to be $10,000?
No.
Let me finish my statement.
No. I don't want to revisit that because I really want to move on. You and I disagree on it. We'll just continue on. No.
I'm just wondering.
The levels were cut, and if they weren't, why did we have all these levies going on?
Because they always do.
Right, and they always pass.
The entire state budget was cut. All departments.
Right.
But okay. I digress. When is that not said?
Right. I mean, he didn't say it, in 2009? Didn't say it in 2010, to answer your question. So we have the governor making these statements, very vague yesterday. And it was interesting to hear one reporter, it wasn't from some of the other stations, it was talking about the scandals. And unlike other politicians that flip-flop, most notably Congressman Labrador, I was really impressed with Governor Otter's answer when they talked about the prison scandals and everything else. He said, look, whether I knew about it or not, paraphrasing Governor Otter, I'm responsible. The buck stops with me.
Well, that's the way it should work in management.
Well, right, but it very rarely does that. I just thought that was a character moment for Governor Otter.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out more. Being sworn in at noon on the Capitol steps along with a host of others.
Right, and then the State of the State on Monday. Then again, this idea of people floating the gas tax. And one reporter was asked yesterday about that. Well, does this mean it's going to happen or it's not going to happen? And the reporter really couldn't answer the question. No, the governor said he'd like to, but or there's a need for it, but he learned his lesson the last time he asked for a gas tax. Didn't pass. You were here for that. How contentious was it?
I'm trying to remember, is a gas tax, or they floated the idea of a registration increase? I can't remember which it was. Gas tax has been a while. But they floated the raising the registration fees, tax, on your cars to register them, and that went down in flames. And some people just about, got bit over that one. So anytime we're going to talk about raising taxes, in particular in Idaho, you're going to take a black eye. You're going to take a black eye. I just think you're going to see, I'll bet all 50 states take a look at it to see whether to do it, since the price of gas is down. You'll see all 50 states take a look at it.
Well, the federal government's already looking at it as well.
Sure. I bet they'll take more than a penny or two.
Well, they're talking about 12 cents over 2 years.
Yeah, so over 2 years. Yeah, then it'll go away, like all those temporary taxes do.
Yeah.
That temporary 1% sales tax that we had added onto us. No, it's going to go away, I promise.
Yeah, getting back to that, though, you've got the possibility of Medicaid expansion. You've got the possibility of raising, we're talking about the roads. I mean, you tell me, people that listen to this program, and heck, to the last couple minutes, know that we don't agree on things a lot. How bad are the roads, in your opinion?
The roads are in need. They are in need. There's no doubt about it. Are they as in need as other states? And I'm trying to think. I've driven in Colorado, I've driven in Wyoming, driven in Utah, driven in Oregon, Washington, and Idaho so far this year, over the past year. And every one of those states, the roads are not as good as they were. But here's something. Cost of petroleum products will be coming down, so pavement and asphalt will cost a lot less this summer.
Sure.
So you're going to save some money there.
Right.
So I'm just saying, if some of those paving projects may want to do it now when the price of petroleum comes down. That's if it does come down. I mean, we all heard that the price of, food's going to go up because transportation's going up. Well, I don't see that food coming down.
Well, the food has been going up for quite some time under this president.
Should be coming down, though, since transportation fees are down. I'm just saying. They want us to pay more because it costs more, but when it costs less, they want us to pay the same or more.
Right.
It's a good deal. But, no, our roads are in need. There's no doubt about it. You have intersections that, there's parts of Meridian, some of those roads, and I'm trying to think in particular, I want to say like Linder or some of those intersections get really bumpy and lumpy. You go over them, it's like, holy cow, I might want to tear this up and pave it. Just saying.
Well, back to the roads, though. There is money that is allocated for the roads, and you have people saying, quite frankly, it's not enough. I wonder if there's any intrepid reporter, probably not, that would take a look at where the transportation money has gone. Was it used to offset some deficit in the general fund? Which it is quite common in states across the country. That's why they keep coming back again and again and again.
I'm sorry, I got confused. Were you saying that were you talking about school, that there's money set aside for schools?
No, I was talking about the roads.
Oh, the roads. I'm sorry. I got confused there.
I just said the roads.
I'm sorry. That was my bad.
Oh, well, we all do, Brett. We all have bads.
Because I thought you were saying there is money set aside for the schools, but...
Well, maybe I did and meant the roads.
Yeah.
Could be.
Same thing, I guess.
Well, I mentally said roads, but it came out vocally schools. So there is money set aside for the roads. Let's recut the tape here.
Okay.
580 KIDO. There is money set aside for the roads. I would be interested to see just how much money that is actually allocated. Now, if it's all being allocated for the roads, well, then I think you have a legitimate issue.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is being used for a pet project here, pet project there, like in other states, it's used to balance the general fund, which makes you look good for the taxpayers. And then the roads come due, and then you're going, well, we don't have any money. We need to get more money. We have to go to the magic checkbook, i.e. the taxpayer.
Yep. It is the magic checkbook. I wish I had one of those.
Well, everybody does, except when you have to have money in it from the magic checkbook.
Mm, good point.
Or the magic credit card.
Well, the state, it doesn't have such a magic one. If the money ain't there, they can't write the check.
Well, and speaking of the state at 580 KID, what do you make of that 37% of our general fund funding comes from the feds?
What do I make of that?
Yeah, I mean,
it's the Fed's way of keeping a hold over you.
Right, but I mean, you talk about a state. Shouldn't a state, any state, not just picking on Idaho, but shouldn't we be self-sufficient that we don't get money from Daddy Uncle Sam?
Shouldn't mass transit be that way?
No, stick to the states, though.
No, but I'm just saying.
No, but we're talking about the states. We're talking about the states.
I'm just saying how many projects are federally funded.
Oh, true.
You know, people go, we need more mass transit. It's almost 100% federally funded.
Right.
We need more of this for the state. Well, a lot of it's being given to us by the feds. Now, I don't know within that 37% how much is the lands that is funded by the feds, and that's what counts in for the state?
Oh, well, no, you look at the school budget. The school budget for the city of Boise, when you're talking school lunch program, I think it's $8 million, something like that. The majority of it, maybe it's $4 million, $6 million, the majority of it is from the federal government for the federal school lunch program.
Do you, by the way, do you pay federal taxes?
Yeah.
Would you like to get something back for them?
What do you mean?
Well, you're saying that nothing should come to the state from the feds. I pay to the federal taxes.
I think I'm lost. You'll have to explain yourself. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I'm just saying. You're saying that we shouldn't get 37% federally funded.
I think that the state should be able to fund itself, yes.
Then where, other than the military, where do you want your federal taxes you're paying going to? Well, where do you want it going to?
Well, I don't know. All I know is that I think that the state of Idaho should be self-sufficient. I think all the states should be self-sufficient. Now, Idaho is one of those states that actually gets more back in federal funding than it pays into.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't see your point.
My point is, if I'm paying federal taxes, if the state I live in is not getting anything back from the federal government, other than the military, they should stop taking federal taxes from me.
Well, no, you're paying for the federal government. No, it's two things. You're paying to fund the military. You're paying to fund the FAA. You're paying to fund the interstate highway system. Now, where I have the issue with the feds, as you pointed out, they're funding 37% of the state. And look, you see it with the schools. If you don't do Common Core, they're going to take your funding.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And remember when we did the police programs. Well, you're going to get money for extra officers, but there are strings attached. You know, it's just like anything, strings are attached. And I think in theory, I think we're both in agreement here. I think in theory, though, states should be self-sufficient. And your point is, well, then they wouldn't get any, you know, what would they, you know, then don't pay any money because you're not going to get anything from the federal government. I think you do have to pay for, you know, unlike libertarians that want to shut everything down except when something impacts them. I think there is a point where, you know, that you need the FAA, you need roads, you need military. I'm sure there are other things that we need.
Yeah, but I would like to know how much of that money that deals with Idaho, because you have states like Idaho and Alaska that the federal government does have to come in and help with the wilderness.
Oh, well, that's a point of contention. Many people here that we've talked to, just saying, many people here think that on this program that we've talked to. Ken Ivory from the American Lands Council, you have a movement, Jim Shemlick, who ran for lieutenant governor, the people that voted for him. You have Speaker Bedke that believe that the state should have more of the federal land. Speaker Bedke, part of the Western lawmakers group that met in Salt Lake probably about a year ago, that are discussing ways where Idaho and Nevada and other Western states can get their lands back.
Well,
they believe that they can, you know, manage it. And that's a point of contention because people say it costs too much money. And then we have the fires.
Yep, exactly. When it goes up in flames, they certainly don't mind when NFC's out there putting flame retardant down on it.
Right. And that's another thing the feds do. Yeah. However, what gets me with the cutbacks is that, sorry, we only have five planes and two of them are in Montana.
Mm-hmm.
I you know, and we get all this money in, and I think that we should have more than five planes in the western part of the United States to fight fires.
Well, I think there's more than five.
Well,
planes, but, yeah,
nobody embellishes here.
Nobody? We both do. Who are you talking to?
Right. So back to the point with the feds here at 580KIDO, kind of dovetailing, not really, but I'm going to say that we planned this the whole time. The president wants to make community college free for everyone.
Who's paying for that?
Well, kind of like Obamacare, it's free.
And my daddy always taught me.
Yeah, yeah.
Anytime you hear a politician say the word free, the first thing you need to ask is who's paying for it, because somebody's paying for it.
Right.
Yeah, free community. I'm going to go back to community college if that's the case.
Well, I mean, that's what gets me is the, you know, this whole issue here where I want to make it free. Okay, so how about this? What about all the people that paid for college? Does that mean that they get the money they spent back in a tax refund? That's that would be only fair.
No, that wouldn't work. That couldn't be fair because it wouldn't apply the other direction.
Well, I mean,
anyone who's in jail for marijuana charges in Colorado should be released.
Good point.
I'm just saying, it doesn't work that way,
right?
But again, and you and I could talk until we ran out of air, which is just about now. We're not going to make too much of a difference because that machine just keeps on rolling, keeps on grabbing out of our pockets.
Now, I'm with you on that, but yeah. And your point is well taken about the federal government. I just, I just think that, you know, like everything, look, you ran a business, you continue to run a business. You need to get the ROI. You had to answer payroll. You had to do taxes. And gosh forbid, if you made a mistake, if the government makes a mistake, oh, no problem.
FUTA, SUTA, workman's comp. Oh, my goodness. It just keeps going. It doesn't end.
Yeah, crazy.
It is. I got to do this. So your traffic.